All right, so we all have our lessons. And I know it says atheism and agnosticism. We're not going to teach you how to be an atheist, as it was pointed out earlier to me. But just kind of what atheists really in general believe, what agnosticism believes, and just where their folly is. First off, we're going to do a little video.
Humanist has no basis for language, grammar, morality, anything.
If God does not exist, the Nazis were not wrong. It's just your opinion that they were wrong. If God does not exist, love is no better than rape. Not in an objective way, anyway. You just may not like it. It's just unfashionable, perhaps, but it's not really wrong. If God does not exist, blowing up innocent people watching a marathon is morally no different than feeding the poor. It's just your opinion. If God does not exist, religious crusades are not wrong. I had the opportunity to debate Christopher Hitchens a couple times. I love Christopher Hitchens. He was great. We had a lot of fun. He had a British accent, so he sounded even more brilliant than he was. And you could see both our debates on our website, crossexamined.org, for free. And Hitchens kept talking about all the evil religious people were doing in the Crusades. I said, Christopher, I agree with you. Exactly. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with that if there's no God. Because there's no standard of righteousness. If there's no standard of righteousness, nothing can be unrighteous. In fact, tolerance is no better than intolerance. David, with his organization, rightfully fights for tolerance for atheists. But look, if there's no God, why tolerate anything? Because there is no, in fact, there are no human rights if there is no God. Everything is a matter of opinion. If we're just overgrown germs that got here by some evolutionary process, then we're no different than any other animal. There is no objective morality if there is no God. Now, by the way, I didn't say atheists weren't good people. I didn't say atheists couldn't know morality. What I'm saying here is atheists can't justify morality.
Without an objective source, there are only preferences, and you cannot tell me that bullying is bad. You can't tell me what is foul or profane language. You can't even tell me what's good grammar or bad grammar. Every time somebody makes a statement like, that's prettier, that's better, that's nicer, that's more appropriate, they are actually recognizing, yes, God, you do exist. And this applies to so many categories. Son. Yeah, anyways.
So without God, we are nothing but overgrown germs, unable to justify what is right or wrong. So, jumping right into atheism. What is atheism? Atheism is a belief that there is no God. The word literally means no godism. We live in an age when people are very skeptical of claims that cannot be proven to be true. Our culture also places a high value on science and technology, which have, to the modern mind, removed the need for God. Scientists can explain nearly every phenomenon that man encounters, so there is no need for God. Clinging to a belief in God is a proof that one is unable to deal with the truth that we live in an impersonal universe ruled not by a sovereign God, but by the laws of nature. Science yields no evidence that God exists. In fact, science clearly asserts that God does not exist. There is not just enough evidence to affirm the existence of God, or so the atheists claim. Atheism is a philosophy that is closely associated with atheism. A word that is closely associated with atheism is naturalism. Atheists are usually naturalists. Naturalism teaches that nothing exists outside the material, natural order. The material universe is the sum of all reality. There is no supernatural realm, no gods, no angels, no devil or demons, nothing beyond which occurs naturally. The material universe has always existed. No God created it or sustains it. Miracles are impossible because they are supernatural. That means they are outside the boundaries of the natural order. Everything that happens can be explained in terms of natural material processes. Scientific laws are adequate to account for all phenomena. Man has no soul or spiritual existence, nor is there life after death. Man is the result of a purposeless and natural process that did not have him in mind. Humans are mere animals or machines who inhabit a universe ruled by chance and whose behavior and thoughts are determined by the constant and impersonal forces of nature and environment. It's never necessary to seek an explanation for events beyond the natural realm because there is nothing beyond it or in addition to nature. Atheists tend to focus on the here and now rather than on the eternal. They are often concerned about the quality of human existence because they believe the life is strictly limited to earthly existence. Some atheists seek to make their life and their lives of others as rich and enjoyable as possible. Now, what the atheist believes is that there is no God. Plain and simple, right? But it's kind of strange that they can know for a fact that there is no God when they clearly state in their arguments that God does not exist. There's no evidence for God to exist. So they must know that God does not exist because they have the evidence or they have the understanding. So that's part of their argument, is that I don't believe it because there is no evidence for it. Now, there's some listed here. There's some famous atheists. Try to do is just Google some of those names and just kind of read what they believe and some of their arguments. It's actually kind of humorous, if you will, on why they believe and how they believe. So, obviously, atheism and naturalism are in stark opposition to Christianity. How should we respond to those who hold these philosophies? Number one is encourage them to examine their presuppositions. I think we all know what a presupposition is. But does anybody want to share what that is, what they believe that is? What a presupposition is?
You kind of gave an example of it already.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit. So it's...
Something you presuppose.
Something that you have determined on your own or in your own mind without proof, without hard evidence. This is my starting point in why I believe the way I believe. So yes, it's an unproven starting point for all following arguments. Some of these may be rational, some irrational, some may be reasonable, some may not be. And that's part of where the conversation has to start from is are the presuppositions, are they reasonable? The Christian must not allow the atheist to think that the steps by which he came to atheism are in any way superior to the steps by which a Christian comes to a theistic point of view. There is no more proof to support atheism or naturalism than there is to support theism. Science does not somehow compel open-minded people to become atheists. It's impossible for anyone to prove that nothing exists outside the boundaries of nature. People became atheists because the idea of God doesn't suit them, not because evidence, proof, science, or sound reasoning. It's more of a religious sentiment than an intellectual conclusion drawn from the facts. So to believe that there is no God because nothing happens outside of the natural course of events, you have to have a presupposition. You have to have a starting point that says nothing existed before something existed. So that's why I believe the way I believe. But trying to think that through, just trying to wrap my mind around that idea that you could know or that something could come into existence out of nothing. I mean, even the laws of science say that that can't happen. I mean, matter doesn't just burst onto the scene. You have to have something that turns into something. It's like burning wood. I mean, just because you no longer have a log doesn't mean the same amount of matter no longer exists. That log goes from a piece of wood to ash to the flames to the heat to the smoke. It's still the same amount of matter. It's just it's changed forms. So an atheistic point of view that says nothing and then something, but nothing caused the something to come from nothing, is almost unexplanatory from their own point of view. Any questions so far? So, some of the weaknesses of naturalism is it's utterly impossible to prove that nothing exists outside the boundaries of natural realm. Naturalism is a statement of faith, not of reason or science. So it's somewhat of a religion, if you will, because it's based on faith. That nothing existed before the something, you have to believe that because there's no way to prove it. You have to have faith that that's how it happened. But it comes back to, what is my faith based on? Is that based on a science book or is that based on the Word of God? Something that says that I am the Bible. I am the absolute authority. This is how it happened because I made it happen this way. Whereas a science book is more of a, well, we kind of think it happened this way just because that's the only way that we can think for ourselves. Science seems to show that matter is not eternal. If matter is not eternal, then naturalism is invalid. If there ever was a time when nothing existed, then nothing could ever exist. Something could never come from nothing. We just talked about that. Atheism has no answer for the question, why is there something rather than nothing at all? So again, if there is now something and there was before nothing, but there was no supreme being, there was no God that caused it, why did it happen? How could it happen on its own? How can something tell itself to appear out of nothing if it didn't exist before? It can't just magically tell itself before it existed to come into existence. It would have to exist, or something would have to exist to tell it to come into existence. Does that all make sense? So if one event could be proven to have happened outside the boundaries of nature, then naturalism is finished. We've already seen that at least one supernatural event, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is well supported by substantial proofs. Naturalism cannot adequately explain how mind, knowledge, reasoning, and morality arises from random, mindless, natural processes. Atheists must assume that the personal somehow arose from the impersonal. The natural world is exceedingly complex and sophisticated, especially when viewed by an electron microscope. Such complexity argues against a purely mechanical origin for all things. DNA, for example, is so extremely complex that it's hard to believe that it developed without a designer. Naturalism generates pessimism. Let me move this forward. Naturalism generates pessimism and despair. Life is meaningless if we live in a cold, impersonal, indifferent universe. Good and evil can have no meaning for a naturalist. As one atheist stated, man is an empty bubble on the sea of nothingness. Point number two on how we can encourage atheists. Encourage them to examine the arguments for the existence of God. We acknowledge that the best approach for apologetics is one that recognizes that all people know God exists and that they have suppressed the knowledge, which comes from Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. People need to hear the gospel because within the gospel message is the power of God unto salvation. Never be ashamed or shrink back from sharing the gospel. One should not attempt to argue an unbeliever into submission. The best method is to present the good news about Jesus Christ as clearly and as often as possible, and to urge people to repent and believe. However, within a serious discussion with an atheist, a presentation of various arguments for the existence of God may be profitable. One may be able to show the unbeliever that belief in the existence of God is rational and reasonable. Now, can I ask you, if you were approached by someone who said, I don't believe in God because that's too hard to believe in, that you could have one supreme being, I believe in total random chance that we're just, you know, feather blowing in the wind across the world. Everything's a chance, pure chance. What would you say to that? Anybody? It's too hard to believe that there's not a God, that the world, that I mean, even the human body is just, it's so complex that there has to be, it has to be. It's just, well, just like in the video earlier, if there is no God, kind of the arguments against God become invalid. You can't have a moral judgment. You can't have a moral standard. You can't have good or bad without first having a God that said, this is good, this is bad. This is moral, this is immoral. This is right, this is wrong. You can't define that just because, you can't define that on your own. That has to be revealed to us first. Anybody else? So the arguments are logical rather than biblical, even though the atheist agnostic does not acknowledge the validity of the Bible. Believers may still build logical arguments that point to God. So, never leave biblical arguments out of any conversation. I think that's where it has to start from. But even if they obviously they're not going to believe the validity of the Bible. They're not going to believe the ultimate authority that the Bible is. So, kind of building that logical explanation of why the world, the universe, everything can't just pop into existence. Kind of their reasoning of why there isn't a God. Well, the scientific laws, they're perfect, and you know, you can't have this, you can't have that. So just kind of walking them through kind of their own arguments, will generally disprove their own arguments. And if they truly want to know the truth, they will recognize. They may not convert because it's not up to us to convert a soul. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But they may recognize that, they may be believing the wrong thing. So the teleological or design argument, The argument is that the presence of order in the universe requires the existence of a designer. I know a lot of scientists say that the universe was created in chaos. There's a lot of chaos going on in the universe. Nothing seems to follow a pattern. I mean, they're within scientific laws, but there's too much chaos over the quote unquote millions and millions of years of evolution. But a typical formulation of the argument goes like this. The universe manifests evidence of design. And all design demands a designer. Therefore, the universe must have a designer. And this designer is the God of the Bible. Intelligent design seems to be incorporated into nature. Many physicists and cosmologists recognize that the universe had a beginning and that many physical laws look suspiciously fine-tuned for the existence of intelligent life. In addition, biochemists and biologists have discovered a microscopic world of mesmerizing complexity belying the simple blobs of protoplasm that Darwin imagined. And a popular expression of the design argument is Pele's watch argument. Anybody heard of Pele's watch argument? Few of you have. So it goes like this. So while walking through a field, one finds a watch on the ground. He naturally and rightly concludes that someone must have made it. Likewise, if one studies the more complex design in the natural world, he must conclude there is a world designer behind it. Obviously, that's kind of very simplistic, and it's probably not going to be very deep in converting the masses away from an atheistic point of view to a Christian point of view. But I always kind of, I like this one. I like this argument, a smartphone. How did us humans, who from an atheistic point of view are no different than a cow, a pig, or a chicken, understand how to make a smartphone, let alone the internet that powers it, and all the different materials that make up a smartphone? I mean, how do we come to that conclusion without first having the materials to do it and then the understanding to do it? So the various observers can look at the same thing without agreeing that it shows design. Modern science has shown that apparent design and chaos often exist side by side, and the presence of apparent design might be an isolated exception. Perhaps we are an island of design in a vast ocean of chaos. Our own world may have occurred by chance, no matter how unlikely that seems. And design is not an inescapable deductive proof of biblical theism. Design points to the presence of a designer, but not to much more than that. Although the teleological argument makes the existence of a designer likely, the argument by itself does not lead necessarily to belief in biblical monotheism. It could, for instance, also support polytheism. And we kind of learned a little bit about that before previous lessons. And then critics feel that Darwinian theory of natural selection has destroyed the teleological argument by showing that changes come from purely natural causes rather than by special design. Evolutionists commonly use terms like design to describe purely natural processes without implying a designer. Nature's designs are simply the unintended side effects of nature's productive self-sufficiency. Kind of makes it sound like nature has a consciousness, doesn't it? Nature was aware of what it was doing when it tells trees to grow nuts and or whatnot, flowers to bloom. Cosmological and cause and effect argument. Science and reason assert that any effect or result must have a cause. Since the universe is an effect or result, then the universe as a whole must have a cause. Something has caused the universe to exist rather than not to exist. And this argument goes a little something like this. Some dependent beings exist. A dependent being is one whose existence is not necessary. People are dependent beings. We owe our existence to causes other than ourselves. We cannot cause ourselves to coming to existence. Anybody following me so far? All dependent beings must have a cause or explanation for an existence. An infinite regress of causes is impossible. You can't trace causes back indefinitely. Therefore, there must be a first uncaused cause of dependent beings. This uncaused cause is the God of the Bible. R.C. Sproul's cosmological dilemma is another formulation of the same argument. Either the universe is an illusion, but if so, then it's an illusion to the mind. So I must exist, which shows that the universe cannot be an illusion. Make total sense, right? Self-created. But something cannot create itself. It's impossible to both exist and not exist at the same time. To cause oneself to come into existence means that your consciousness would have to exist before your consciousness existed. Can't happen. Eternal. But all natural effects must have a cause. Matter is dependent, not eternal. Also, if an eternal God is unacceptable, eternal matter is as well. And created by something eternal, which is God. So the limitations of this argument is, if everything requires a cause, one may argue that God requires a cause. If God requires no cause, then some things do not require a cause. However, it can be shown that the eternal existence of God is different than the supposedly eternal existence of the universe. This argument might hold up. Making the jump between the cosmological cause and the God of the Bible may present a problem. Many religions believe in a creator-designer God, but not the Christian God.
Thing and went back to the naturalist where it says we were talking about the same idea that something can't create itself. They disregard the supernatural. But I can't help but think with today's explanations of the existence of the universe, the very event of the Big Bang argues against that. It implies a supernatural. There's nothing natural about
right.
it. It can't be explained by natural laws. It's a supernatural event, and it already itself defeats their whole argument. So
yeah.
How does nothing become something? We're saying they say a supernatural event, and then everything ceases to be supernatural. I find that pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point. About the Big Bang Theory, is something had to cause that. You know, I've heard different arguments about the Big Bang. There's a little bang and then a big bang. It's a multiple Big Bang or several moderate-sized bangs or whatever it is. But in order for that to happen, something had to exist before that and then cause that. And just like as Pastor had said, there's a supernatural element to that. So that's a good point. Anything else? So just a note that God is not self-caused. He is self-existent and eternal. He did not cause himself to come into existence. He has always existed in, of, and by himself. Because God is God, the argument with that is just that you have to establish anytime you'd have a conversation with an atheist or anybody who is more naturalistic is set that defining character of who God is. You know, don't allow the conversation to take God down more to the human standards of, well, you know, we're like this, so you know, a character of us has to be like God. And it's actually vice versa. Does that make sense? So the moral argument is moral values. The idea that certain behaviors are right or wrong are common to all cultures. While a few cultures support certain wrong behaviors, cannibalism, human sacrifices, as we heard in the video, rape, things of that nature. Most people agree on basic ethical standards. Most cultures acknowledge that murder and theft are wrong, and that is that it's good to be kind and generous. Ethical values for most people go beyond mere personal feelings. We believe that certain behaviors ought to be done and others ought not to be done. Where do such ideas come from? If the naturalist is correct, there should be no moral values, because the natural world doesn't seem to be governed by morality. There are no ethical standards in the animal kingdom. Survival of the fittest is the only constant. If man is the result of natural evolution, where did he get the idea that any behavior is good or bad? On what basis can an impersonal, randomly ordered universe develop morality? Even cultures that have no organized religious system recognize ethical standards. And why is that? So, obligations and loyalties arise from personal relationships, not mechanical ones. The legal system tells us that certain behaviors are acceptable and others are not acceptable. A hierarchy of moral authority suggests that there must be somebody at the top who dictates what is right or wrong. In a natural, mechanic universe, there is no need for nor process to explain morality. But a higher moral law does seem to exist. And such a law seems to be independent of natural processes. If so, there must be a lawgiver, and that must be God. Does that all make sense so far? For an atheistic point of view? So, like Miss Alice was saying, a courtroom reminds her of a courtroom where the judge is making the decision or setting the standard, setting a precedence, essentially, of this is how things ought to be done because this is how I believe what is right or wrong. There has to be somebody who set that standard. This is right or wrong, and that somebody is God. So, agnosticism. That's a word we use all the time, right? So the word agnostic literally means no knowledge. Agnostics claim that they personally don't know if God exists. Some claim that no one can know for certain if there is a God. If you agnostics dabble in religion just in case there is a God. They want to cover themselves in the off chance that God really does exist. But most agnostics behave like atheists. Agnosticism is not a halfway position between theism and atheism. It's atheism under another name. I was comparing this when I was preparing for this lesson. I compared agnosticism to fence sitters in, say, like a political vote. Well, I don't know if I'm going to vote for this person or this person. I don't know who's the better of the candidates. They kind of share the belief in one candidate or the other candidate just so that they can keep their alliances open, free to whoever wins if they feel that they need to win that type of a battle. So just as there are no true atheists, there are no true agnostics because all have some genuine knowledge of God. A true agnostic would be receptive to the gospel because he'd be convicted that God of the Bible does exist. Unfortunately, most agnostics are very skeptical about biblical claims. They are self-deceived, claiming not to know if God exists, but in reality, rejecting the knowledge that they have. So, in conclusion, the Bible teaches that atheists are fools. Psalms 14:1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good." Romans chapter 1, verse 28 says, "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God as any God any longer, God gave them over to depraved minds to do those things that are not proper." Scripture denies that anyone can be a true atheist or agnostic. God has clearly revealed himself to all so that all know him, although some suppress and deny the truth. As Psalms 19 verses 1 through 3 says, "The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard." Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 23 says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Verse 19, "Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God has made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." Verse 21, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Verse 23, "And exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Believers must confront atheists and agnostics, insist that they re-examine their presuppositions, and challenge them to respond appropriately to the gospel. Such unbelievers will not be brought to faith by weighty arguments or logical discussions. They need to understand their sinfulness and their alienation from God, and they must be challenged to forsake their rebellion and to seek forgiveness from Christ. It may seem foolish to preach the gospel to those who reject the Bible, but the gospel message contains the power to convert the most earnest atheist. Yes?
Okay, I just have a question. Yes. So my dad, like, identifies himself as agnostic, I guess, but, like, reading this description makes me think he's, like, mislabeling himself, because he says, like, what he says is that he knows there is a God, but he doesn't believe people can know, like, which one it is, or, like, the characteristics of God, mm-hmm. I guess, or, like, who God is. That's what he believes. Is that mislabeling himself as agnostic, or is there another term for him? Because this sounds a little different.
Yeah, that's what I was a theist. And I think you're probably a little better at explaining it in more in-depth words than I am. But theist is they're not sure which God exists or if there's just one God, and they don't know how to know. What the actual attributes of God are. What they're trying to do, what becomes sinful about that is they're trying to understand it in their own mind. Instead of going to the source, the Word of God, and learning about who God is. You can't know God unless you know the Word of God. So trying to exclude the Bible, from any learning, any understanding of who God is, that's sinful, because, then it becomes a prideful, arrogant way of saying, I'm going to try and learn this on my own. I'm going to try and reveal God to myself. So that's, I don't know, is that?
I mean, as far as a label, he's technically a theist. If he believes there is a God, or could be a God, then he's a theist. This doesn't mean he does. An agnostic is one who would say, I don't know if there's a God or not. It sounds like you're saying he believes there's a God or gods, but just doesn't know which God it might be. That'd be a theist.
So atheism is no God, agnostic is, I don't know if there is one or not, and then a theist, like, thinks there is, but...
Believes that there is a God, but may not be the Christian God, could be any kind of God. Technically, we're theists, we just know that God is the one true God of the Bible. So if you're looking for a label, and then Brett did a great job of explaining the fallacy of that.
Any questions, any observations so far? It can kind of get a little complicated trying to understand the different arguments, especially the atheistic argument. It's I was kind of Googling stuff, looking for things about atheists, and there's, I don't know what is the atheistic experience or something. It's some, I don't know, some radio show or something, where essentially it's just a bunch of people that get on the radio, get on TV, and just they make their stance of why they believe what they believe, and you know, people call in to either agree with them or to disagree with them. And I was watching this one. It was, I don't know, 2 or 3 minute clip of one thing, one episode, and it was. One of the guys on there was saying that, he was raised from the dead. And so the Christian caller was like, well, I don't necessarily believe that you really believe what you just said. I think you're just saying that just to get me all riled up. And so the atheist was saying, well, how do you know that I'm lying to you? How do you know that that's true or not? And the Christian caller got flustered, and that was not the quite right way to respond to that. Again, it's staying with Scripture, and this is what Scripture says. You can't, someone who says that, you know, I was raised, you know, if that's an argument, a valid argument that they bring up, they're not a very strong atheist, in my opinion. But if they bring up an argument like that, I mean, just to understand that, I mean, the logical explanation is how did you raise yourself from the dead? If you were dead, you can't raise yourself from the dead because you believe that there is no life after death. So a valid argument like that would have stopped it. So I think a point to take away is we're gonna have reactions to our faith that are not favorable. I mean, they will be hatred against us, and it's just staying calm and staying with Scripture. Any other observations, questions, anything? Okay, so discussion questions. Define atheism.
Fool.
A fool.
Oh, sorry. Well, someone has something to
do. Scripture.
Liar.
A liar.
Oh. I think he's looking for the technical definition.
either or. But yeah, anybody have a technical definition? Someone who does not believe in God.
No godism.
No godism.
And he's an expert on
that.
Yeah. That's why he's full.
Define agnosticism.
Doubter.
Oh, a doubter.
Actually, I would call it almost lazy.
Lazy?
Because you're saying, well, I don't know if there is a God or not, but I'm not going to go look for it either.
Too proud to say there is a God, and too scared to say there isn't. Mm-hmm. Technical definition.
Has no knowledge as to whether there is or is not a God.
Right.
It's been my experience with those two different people that the atheists are the ones that jump down your throat, and the agnostics are the tolerant ones that just kind of let you think we can.
Very true. Very true. I mean, like I said, when I was Googling a bunch of stuff about atheists, a lot of it was geared a little more. It seemed like the message against Christianity was a little more hostile than Googling agnosticism. So you do have to. Understanding that difference is good when you're trying.
By
to...
definition, though, that's kind of makes sense, though, because one's saying no, the other's saying no.
So, yeah.
I mean,
very true. But
it's interesting, though, that there's a lot of atheists who will try to play the agnostic card, mm-hmm. because they do recognize one weakness of their worldview is that they can't say there isn't a God. Even Christopher Hitchens, if you watch any of the debates, and he just riles me up, but if you watch him, he'll make those kinds of statements. He's a staunch atheist, supposedly, but he'll say, well, yeah, I can't say 100% because I'm not, you know, in all these different places in the universe.
And yeah.
So that's playing that agnostic card, and it's almost to draw, I think, a bit of sympathy, or, you know, hey, I am human, I could be wrong, but it's like, no, you're just wrong.
Just wrong. You're so wrong, you don't even, not even sure what you believe in. Are you an atheist, or are you an agnostic?
I also observe that a lot of agnostics really come in two different flavors. There's simply those who say, I don't know if there's God, and others will actually serve questions impossible to answer. Sometimes it can help them manage.
Yeah.
One, because I think, as Chase said, probably because of laziness, not really looking at the issue to determine if there is or there isn't. And I think that second brand is really the ones that tend to lean more towards atheism, just afraid to take that full step.
Right. It's more of an epistemological argument.
So define naturalism.
That everything happens within natural order of things. Nothing exists outside of that.
Yep. They believe that nothing exists outside of natural processes. There are no supernatural, there is no miracles. Everything has to be explained within the natural laws, the natural processes that exist.
You know, it's interesting to me, when I was in elementary school, I remember some of the science textbooks, and they would talk about, they're just beginning to be some talk about the Big Bang Theory at that point, but really most of the scientists at the time were what they called steady state, that everything is eternal. Mm-hmm. And of course, science has demonstrated, as you pointed out, that it's not. Matter isn't eternal. And so it seems like it'd be harder to be a naturalist now, given what we know, than it would have been 50 years ago.
Yeah.
I just find it interesting, because if you can say matter's eternal, then you've made matter God, and it's always been there. You don't have to explain where it came from. Big Bang opens up the huge question, what was before the yep. Big Bang, and who did it, and all of that. So,
anything else? All right, question four. What is one supernatural event that is very well attested?
Christ.
Resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Empty tomb.
Of course, the biggest argument against that is they try to disprove the Bible, because in one of the Gospels it talks about, you know, it clearly states that there's two angels, and then another one it doesn't state that there's two angels, and so that's their argument against the Bible, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's if you actually read it with an understanding, or I don't want to say the phrase open mind, but a mind that's not looking to disprove, but just reading it, what it says, that argument obviously falls apart, because it's not saying that one is not saying, there's no contradiction to it that we talked about last week. One's not saying that there was only one, and then one said that there was two, so there's no actual contradiction. The tomb is empty. But see, that's a point that they completely miss, because they're talking about the angels. Well, one book says that there was two. One doesn't say that there was two. So let's forget the fact that the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. Let's... Yep.
Straining the gnats and swallowing the camel.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, question five. Why does the complexity of DNA argue for a designer? It's too complex. Now, it's been a few years since I've had science class, but there's what, four proteins, nucleotides that make up a DNA chain. There's only four, but yet of those four, you can have so many different variations of people. I'm 5'5". Professor Ed, you're close to 6 foot. I have blonde hair. Chris has black hair. So it's there has to be, that can't just happen out of nothing. It can't be developed from nothing. That has to come from somebody. So complex, the most complex. One argument I know from naturalists is that the simplest organism survives. It has the easiest chance of surviving, the strongest survive, or the fittest survive. Survival of the fittest. Going to get that out. So a human is a very, very complex organism. So that goes against some of their own arguments. Any other things? Any other questions? Observations? So why can't the universe be self-created? I'm sorry?
It behaves too logical, I mean.
There's too much logic
in it. They're not from each other. Mm-hmm. And the more scientists look, the farther the universe expands. And the more they see, if what's self-created, one star could go a different year, set of universes, because we have no idea how many there are.
Yep.
Just the more they look, the more they find. but they can't switch different universes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, so there's...
They're bumping each other. Yeah, there's... We're a really big truck on here.
There's too much logic. Everything behaves a certain way. In the theory of some of these other worldviews, the chaos, there's too much order and logic to really understand or really believe that there's chaos, that the universe was created in chaos and operates in chaos. There's just too much logic, too much order. There has to be a designer.
Something cannot be, not exist, and then make itself exist.
Because if it decided to make itself exist, then it already existed. Anything else? Question 7. Briefly discuss the 3 arguments for God that we examined. We do. So the first one is design. So that's one of the arguments that was presented, the design argument. This is how we just talked about it, that there's an order of how the universe operates. Things function a certain way. Every planet, every space body has a level of gravity. That's everything goes around in an orbit. Every living thing on this planet is made of carbon, is carbon-based. So there's an order to everything. So that has to be a definition that there is a designer. There's the only logical explanation. So the next one, I'm going to know what the next argument was, or another one of the arguments was. Morality is one of them. So what is the moral argument?
That there is a right and wrong.
There's a right and wrong.
If there's a right and wrong, then must be someone besides that.
How can we define what is right and wrong without understanding what is right or wrong, what's good or evil, what's good or bad, what's what we should be doing or what we should not be doing? We don't know that unless someone has first told us what is. What's the third argument?
Cause and effect.
So,
God caused everything to exist.
There was an effect, and something had to cause that. So something had to happen.
God spoke.
Let there be light. Yep. So that's everything we're going to cover tonight. Anybody have anything else? No, that's probably we're a little ahead of time, but is that it? Anything else? Questions? Okay. All right. Well, let me close in prayer. Talk amongst yourselves once we conclude. Just keep it down to a minimum as they're still teaching back there. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time to come together, to learn, what some of the arguments against us are, against our faith. We just pray that we have been able to learn, to understand what these arguments are. I just pray that we don't enter any arguments, seek out any arguments to argue, but to point to your Son, Jesus, to show who He is, to make disciples of this world, to make believers, to make men who are seeking a life after your own heart. And we pray for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.